from our Hebrews text. And Hebrews is such, well, I've said this before, you're always in trouble when you say you've got favorite books or something, and somehow it's like saying you have a favorite child, which is not the case. But Hebrews has got some just extraordinary things for us, and I've very much enjoyed all the time I've spent in Hebrews over the years. And not just because I can make a pretty good case that it was written by a woman, which I do just to be annoying to some of my more conservative friends, let's be honest, but just because of what it does and the different perspective it has on Jesus. It's unique in the New Testament in how it looks at Christ from this Hebraic sense that really resonates with me. And Hebrews 11, frequently referred to as the faith chapter, is just such a wonderful place to spend some time. And we're here in Hebrews 11 this week and next week, and so we'll talk about faith next week as well, I'm sure. But when we're talking about faith, what is it that we're actually meaning? And as I've used many times, and as I'm sure you heard long before I ever came on the scene, Mark Twain's definition of faith, which is believing something you know isn't true, which is not what faith is. Faith is not anything remotely resembling what you know isn't true, or even what you suspect isn't true. Faith, as the author of Hebrews says, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is knowing that just because you're not entirely sure how something's going to happen doesn't mean it won't. And because faith frequently gets put solely into the church, solely into a spiritual end of things, people will say that, well, faith is just foolish. And my usual response is, you obviously don't know anyone who was working in South Africa before the end of apartheid who had faith that this horrifyingly oppressive regime would someday end. Nobody had any idea how, but they lived in faith that it would end. You've never talked to anyone who lived through the oppression of being a person of color in the United States. Not that it's over by any means or been fixed, or that it's any better here with our First Nations people. But you look back in my lifetime or my father's lifetime, and no one would have said that there would be the possibility of a man of color in the presidency. They lived in faith that these things would happen. And faith is what continued to give them energy to move forward. And faith isn't believing in things that are fundamentally impossible. It's not faith to believe that the sun will rise in the north. That's not faith, that's foolishness. And at the same time, we don't talk about faith in the same way that we have faith that what we're standing on won't collapse. That's not faith either. We sometimes use it as an example that if you have faith in, you know, the classic example is if you have faith in the pew but you never sit in it, if you have faith in, you know, your house but you never go into it, what good is your faith? But that's a different end of things. We're not exercising faith at this particular moment that the pews won't collapse, that the stage I'm on won't suddenly disappear into the basement. That's not faith. Faith is when we know things are coming, and we may or may not know how they're going to arrive. We may not, for that matter, even know if they're going to arrive in our lifetime, but we know they're coming. I have faith that at some point, women will be fully equal in our society and in our culture. And we've made great strides there. But women still don't get paid as much as for doing the same work frequently. This still happens. It's better than it was before. You are no longer fired out of hand when you get married because, of course, you're taking a job from a man who's married. You know, like these things have changed. I have faith that one day my children, who are all girls, will never be looked at as objects. Do I know how these things are going to happen? No. Can I work towards them? Yes, I can. And when we pull these these secular, if you will, as if there's any part of the world that God isn't intimately interested in, but if we look at these things that aren't explicitly religious and see the faith that we have there, what's the faith that we see in Hebrews 11? Is it fundamentally different? Is there something particular going on? And there are some differences, of course. Our passages this morning, reading verses 1 to 3 and then dropping down to verse 8, where we have the story of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This was revealed to him in a way that is different than the cultural understanding is growing that sexism needs to stop. 150 years ago, much of what we consider abhorrent sexist behavior was just the way of the world. Like, nobody thought there was anything wrong with that. You know, that was just the way it was. You know, women weren't men, so why would we treat them like men? You know, things have changed, but not from a specific call like Abraham got. And so every once in a while, people will tell me that it's easy for Abraham to have had faith because he had this call. And I'm thinking, if you think it's easy to expect you're going to have a child when you're 100, you're crazy. It doesn't matter how revealed it's going to be. I love how the NIV puts it. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful and who made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, just thought, you know, 100, it was just at my Aunt Eloise's 100th birthday. I don't know that she'd be very happy if anybody thought she was as good as dead, because I don't think she was. But that's now. Imagine, thousands of years ago, 100 years old, having children. Of course, that was something that took a significant amount of faith. And we have faith not just in things that we'd like to happen. We have faith in things that we know should happen, that we know will happen. Faith is not a blind belief in anything. There's a move out there in this, how did somebody once describe it, as this squashy New Age thinking, that says that if you believe something and say it as if it will have happened every day for 30 days, it will happen. And this is wishful thinking. This is not faith. And faith is tricky because it's not just that we look at things that should happen, that could happen, and while we don't know how they can happen, we can see them. Because that, like, there's something different about believing, living in the faith that you will have a child at 100 when you're married to someone who's 90. There is the miraculous, the extraordinary is there in a way that isn't when we're looking at the ongoing movement towards treating people equally. But it's still not in the realm of wishful thinking. Because when we look at the faith that we have, that we are moving towards a society that treats people equally, that works as hard as possible to bring justice and equality to all, in the same way, we realize that when we follow the things that God says, we're moving towards a more complete, a better, a more perfect world. And this doesn't mean that I'm a perfectionist in the sense that some people are, who say that at some point, the world that we live in, we will, through the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, create heaven on earth. I don't think it works that way. I don't have the final answer on what the end of all things looks like by any means, but I don't see that happening. I don't see us slowly but surely turning this into paradise. But I do see us moving every day into doing what we can to make it as close to paradise as we can. When Abraham was having faith that he would have a child, it wasn't just that he would have children. It wasn't just that he would have someone to whom he could give an inheritance. God told Abraham that I'm going to change the world through your children. God said, through you, through your bloodline, I am going to bring redemption to the world. The faith that Abraham had wasn't just in his own comfort of having a bloodline to follow him along. His faith was in the larger picture of what God was doing. And so when we think, what is it that we have faith in? And what should we have faith in? Or what can we have faith in? And yes, we can have faith in a world that is not quite as awful next year as it is this year. We do so because we're having faith in something that God is intimately interested in. The church is no better than the non-church sometimes at drawing this impenetrable border between what God does and what God doesn't do. And we tend to think that God does the spiritual stuff. He changes us from the inside out, redeems us, creates a place for us to live with Him forever, and that's sort of where it ends. I'd put it to you that God had His hand at work in, I just was listening to it being described on the radio on the way here, the pact that has been entered into, I think that's what it's actually called, it's called the pact, of large European and some North American retailers who now have put in place legal remedies if they don't have ethical practices sourcing their clothing manufacturers in Bangladesh. It's not just saying that it would be good if we didn't exploit people somewhere else. It's saying that if we don't put in the work to ensure that the factories that our clothes come from are safe, that the people are treated equitably, that things are better, there will be legal recourse, and they have signed on to this. To me, this is a great movement forward, where we can wear clothes that don't come at the life expense of some people. God was at work there. I don't know if any of these executives, that Joe Fresh and these other places that were part of this, I don't know if they're people of faith. I have no idea. It doesn't matter. God was at work there, bringing good things out of a horrifying disaster in the factory collapse in Bangladesh 4 months ago. We have faith that God is continuing to be at work in the world at large and in us as individuals. The faith we have doesn't depend on always seeing results, and certainly not always seeing results the way we want to see results. My idea of a perfect world does not involve oppression of any sort. I can barely even describe it. But the fact that we're making small moves towards that continues to build my faith that God is at work. That God is at work in individuals making a global difference. Abraham was given Isaac. He wasn't given the nation of Israel. Isaac. And then Isaac had his own children. He didn't have millions of children. He had lots of children. These little steps moving forward didn't accomplish everything in a moment, which us as impatient people wish it would. Somebody once characterized my generation as the kind of people who stand in front of the microwave tapping their toe. You know, like even the microwave isn't fast enough for us. Faith is moving us forward. The faith that Abraham had was that God would do what God said He would do. And the faith that we have is exactly the same. Now, maybe Abraham had a bit more insight into his own descendants than we have. But he didn't have any more insight into the fundamental goodness of God. He didn't have any more insight into the fundamental realization that God cares for His creation, and that for reasons that make sense to God, although sometimes escape us, He's allowed us to have the choice to make bad decisions as well as good ones. Abraham may have understood that better, but not because there was anything special about him or his relationship, but because of his own work at having that faith. I know people who have a faith very much like Abraham's, who believe in God's goodness in a way that I barely can understand, who have seen God at work in their lives and in the lives of people around them, who have read carefully church history and the world's history and seen God at work there in ways that give them confidence about God's essential, fundamental goodness towards them and everyone else, that is equal to my belief that when I get in my car, it will get me all the way to Moose Jaw. Something I don't even think about. That's their faith. But their understanding of God is not fundamentally different than mine or yours. Their faith has grown, as ours can. But they're not putting their faith in a different God than us. And they're not different people than we are. We can have the same kind of faith that Abraham did. We can have the same kind of faith that all of these people in Hebrews 11 had. Because the source of their faith, the bedrock of their faith, the goal of their faith is exactly the same as ours. It's God. We have faith in God because over time in our own lives, and as we read Scripture, as we look at the history of the world, in church and outside of church, we see God continually doing the things that only God can do. Our faith grows when we see that it's placed in something of value. When we're little, we lose faith much quicker than when we're old, because we don't have the experience of knowing that our parents never give us poison. We're having a challenge getting Mila to actually eat. I don't want to eat this. This is awful. Well, you liked it last time. No, I didn't. Well, you know, the older you get, the more you realize that your parents pretty much all the time told you the truth, that pretty much all the time did their best for you. The older you get, the more likely you are to believe that when your parents hand you something, it's something of value. The more time we spend with God, the more we realize that He is doing what God can, what only God can do, the less important it is for us to see the outcome of that faith immediately. And that's what allows us to have faith in things that we're pretty sure won't happen until long after we're gone. Abraham had faith that God would take this child of his, whenever the child came, and create a nation that would change the world. I don't think any of us feel that our children are the beginning of that nation that's going to change the world. But we look at the example of Abraham, and we know for sure that God is going to use us in changing the world. Which gives us faith that when God asks us to do some of those odd things, like give money to people we've never met, that it's a good thing to do, that it's working out His plans, His purposes. We're going to think about faith this week and next week, because it's something that we do, that we may or may not know we do. When we reach out to someone around us in kindness, when we make a donation of time or money or talent, whatever it might be, we do so knowing that God is going to take that and use it the way it needs to be used. We may not think of it that way, but that's what we're doing. We're here this morning, not just because we like seeing each other, but because we know that the body of Christ, believers together, accomplish things for God that we may not even understand. We're here in faith, knowing that when we come together, God meets us here in ways that He doesn't when we're on our own. We live in faith all the time. Faith isn't a cop-out. It's not a sign of weakness. Faith is rather a sign of awareness. It's an understanding of how the universe works, the world works, and how we work within it. as God works within us and in all of those other places. I was hoping for some kind of a pithy summation for this, but you'll notice the sermon title is just, "Let's Talk About Faith," and that's what we're doing. I'm hoping to pull it together in a different way next Sunday. But we talk about faith, maybe not enough. Because sometimes when we're exercising faith, we feel a little almost embarrassed. And think, should I really do this? Well, yes, you should. And so we're talking about faith to remind ourselves that we have faith in God. We don't have faith in our own optimism. We don't have faith in our own hope. Hope and optimism come from faith, not the other way around. And we have faith in the Creator of the universe, who has given ample evidence of how much we are loved and of how much God is engaged in this world. Even when we don't see the fruits of it instantly, we still know it's there. We live in faith. The details are different, but we live in faith just like Abraham did. We exercise faith in different areas, but we have the same faith that Abraham had because we serve the same God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father,